Welcome back in everyone to a fabulous new Whisper in the Wings from Stage Whisper. We have a great show in store to bring to you today. As a reminder, the New York City Fringe Festival is playing April 3rd through the 21st at mainly three venues, Under St. Mark's, The Wild Project, and 14Y Theater. And you can get your tickets for all of these at frigid.nyc. But today we are actually speaking with one of two shows that are site-specific shows, which is very exciting, at least for us. Of course, this is only our second year covering the festival, but this appears to be a first where we're having site-specific shows. Today we're joined by the playwright Adam Simkowitz and the director Andrew Block, who are with the show Clown Bar 2. They're having performances April 14th through the 16th and the 20th through the 21st, so weekend performances, at Parkside Lounge. And again, you can get your tickets and more information by visiting frigid.nyc. We're so excited to have the show closing out our pregame coverage, if you will, of the festival. Of course, we'll be there at the festival, but bringing you this great site-specific show that we can't wait to share with you. So with that, let's welcome on our guests, Adam, Andrew. Welcome to Whisper in the Wings from Stage Whisper.
Thank you so much.
Hi, thank you.
I'm excited to have the two of you here. I'm going to go on a limb and say, I feel like this might be a clown show, which is we've continued through our journey on Whisper in the Wings. The world of clown is just so fascinating. But I'm getting ahead of myself. I want to start with you, Adam, as the playwright. And could you tell us a little bit more about what Clown Bar 2 is and is about?
Sure. So about 13 years ago, we did this play called Clown Bar at the Parkside Lounge, which is where this is going up also, which is pretty exciting. And it's about mobster clowns. And this is basically almost everybody dies in Clown Bar. So I thought it would be a wonderful idea to do a sequel of this with the living people and a bunch of new characters. And it continues to be gangster clowns in a bar full of clowns. It had its premiere a couple years ago, almost 2 years ago now, in Vegas. And this is the first production since then. But I hear there are a whole bunch new planned coming up as well. So I'm very excited to have this premiere in New York.
That's amazing. Oh my gosh. I knew that there was, you know, the Italian mafia, the Jewish mafia, the gay mafia as well. Who knew there was a clown mafia? Like, wow, New York, we really have it all.
It's the easiest show I've ever had to elevator pitch. Anybody who asks me, what are you working on? And I say, well, it's a show called Clown Bar 2. It pretty much tells what it is in the title. So super fun.
So Adam, where did you come up with the idea for this show?
Yeah, when I was in grad school years and years ago, like in the early 2000s, I wrote a scene between a couple of clown gangsters. I think it was around the time that The Sopranos was on the air. And I was really interested in it, but I didn't really know what it was. This theater company, Rising Phoenix, asked a bunch of people to write plays for the back room of a bar and promised whatever they wrote that it would go up. So I felt like it was finally my opportunity to write this, like, crazy play about clowns. And I mean, it has a cast, like the original one had a cast of 10 and four songs in it. This has a similar, it's also 10, right? Or do we have 11? How many people?
It's 10.
It's so many people. So I thought no one will ever do this play. At least I can get it done this one time. But then like a year later, this theater company was interested in it. It went up, got a New York Times critics pick. And it's been done like 60 times since then. So then, like, you know, a couple of years ago, I started writing a sequel. And now there's a prequel, too, which is a Christmas show, which was done this past Christmas. And yeah, there's a lot of clowns out there.
Wow, that's fantastic. Now, Andrew, I want to bring you in now because you are the director of the show. How did you come upon this piece?
So I opened the year. Well, I was doing my New Year's resolutions at the beginning of this year, and I said, you know what, the one thing I need to make sure I do is I'm going to have a show, and I'm going to have it soon. I was tired of making excuses for myself about not getting out there and getting the work done post-pandemic. And like I mentioned, I work for TDF, and I'm kind of immersed in the community, and like I'm surrounded by artists, and I just thought, you know, I can't sit around anymore and let others do the work for me. Like, I want to get out and get back and get this done. And so I said, I'm going to make this theme of the year, yes, and. And within 9 days, Clown Bar was in my lap. And I had had a meeting with Arez Ziv, who runs the Frigid Festival, and he told me all about the site-specific stuff going on. And so I put out a call for just the playwrights that I knew and playwrights, you know, friends of playwrights for plays that take place in a bar, because I was also starting a collaborative process with Chris Lee, who is helping produce this. And also he is the owner of Parkside Lounge and an actor who I've worked with quite a bit. So all the pieces, I mean, it sounds sort of cheesy, but I feel like I manifested it. Like it just, I put it all out there to the world, and it all came back to me. And to be quite honest, I got quite a lot of great submissions. And, you know, I read some stuff, another piece of Adams that was, you know, like a short two-hander and some other things. And then the Clown Bar kept popping up because of the fact that Clown Bar 1 had originally started at Parkside anyway. And so I asked Adam, can you also send me Clown Bar, you know, Clown Bar 2, let's see it. And I looked at it and my first reaction was, wow, this is a lot. And I thought, this is a lot. I'm not sure that like jumping into this new relationship and that. And I sent it to Chris and he was like, no, I really like Clown Bar 2. So I really gave it a good look and I said, all right, yes, and we can do this. So it just became like this is the thing we have to do. And I talked to Adam and then it came about. And then we were doing it. And literally it feels like we're being shot out of a cannon. Like, you know, I just started rehearsals last week. This goes up in a month. There's a lot of movie pieces to it. It's music, it's mayhem, it's all this stuff, but it's a total blast. And we really have a cast of 10 really exceptionally comic actors who are playing these clowns. And it's a wild show.
I love all that. That is incredible. So Andrew, sticking with you for this next question, as we start to roll into, you know, the New York City Fringe Festivals, what has it been like developing this production?
So when I you know, I've been in New York for at least 15 years now. And when I first moved here as a director, my first several years, every year I had a show in Fringe. And it was always I'm sort of drawn to the guerrilla theater aspect of it, kind of being in a community of artists and all that stuff like that. And then, you know, pre-pandemic, Fringe sort of started to change a little bit, and then it kind of went away for a bit. And now, after all these years, it's being resurrected by Frigid. And just knowing, like, being friends with Arez and knowing what he wants to do with it and kind of taking this model and building this sort of site-specific thing, I was like, I really do want to be a part of this thing. So, you know, as I mentioned, it just sort of became this thing I had to do. It's sort of a piece of my nature, and I really love working with playwrights, especially ones that, like, I've worked on a lot of, you know, new work and New York premieres and things like that. And so what was exciting about this is this came from a somewhat established world. Adam was on my radar. I mean, I knew of his other work and stuff like that. And so when this came about, it was like, oh, I really love the idea that we're like doing this in New York at the original site and for the first time here.
That is brilliant. Brilliant. This is so much fun learning more about this great show. I want to snowball off of that and ask the two of you, is there a message or thought you hope that audiences take away from the piece? And Adam, I'm going to start with you on that.
Nope. It's about clowns. It's a fun time. It's you know, I'm trying to think, is there any message in this play? Absolute power corrupts? I don't know.
As long as it's not be afraid of clowns, I'm okay with that. That's
I mean, there are a lot of people that are afraid of clowns. I did not know how many people there were afraid of clowns before I wrote this Clown Bar play. There are so many. And these are not scary clowns. I think that they're funny clowns and, you know, menacing clowns, but not actually, like, I don't think anyone leaves this going like, that was terrifying, unless they're already terrified of clowns.
That's fair.
No, I tell people that it feels, it's less living in the world of It and more living in the world of like Who Framed Roger Rabbit. Like it,
yes.
with sort of that sense of humor. You know, with it being funny, but also kind of has a dark edge to it. And you know, there's a lot of zaniness and and stuff like that. I mean, the only message I would say that people could take away from it is that, I mean, I was thinking about this question because the world is on fire right now. And like, there's so much, you know, awful things out there. And this really is truly a chance to just put that aside and enjoy something and like, you know, go to another world that is not your own and like go to a bar and have a drink and be in a room with a bunch of clowns and you're really immersed in the whole thing. And, you know, in my downtime, like I stupidly have like political 24-hour political news cycle on. And now it's like, I'm in the rehearsal process with this and it's changing my entire attitude. Like, it's fun to be there. It's fun to work with actors on this stuff and to really build these, you know, these super zany moments. And there's a time and a place for the other. And I just feel like it changes my mood. And I think that's if I'm going to take a message from it, it's that.
Yeah. I mean, it's a fun night out, I think.
Yeah.
It is.
It's truly an event piece.
I love that. Well, my final question for this first part is, who do you hope have access to Clambar 2? And Andrew, if I could start with you on that, that would be wonderful.
I guess I kind of said it, like anybody who wants to go out and have it enjoy a piece of theater that is an event and that really is truly like a one-of-a-kind sort of all-encompassing immersive experience where you're having drinks, you're with friends, you're enjoying this piece, and then you can laugh your ass off and then go about your night. Like it's not a, you know, it's kind of a weird time too, because it's we're doing this in April. It's like Broadway's taking up a lot of the oxygen. We are not enemy of the people, even though there is a, you know, kind of a immersive element to that production. Like we are the opposite of an O'Neill play, Ibsen play, and we are there solely to make you have a good time. And so I think it's funny. I think that people that are going to know about, like people that are going to see this, hopefully are going to be people who are, because Adam will tell you that there's a cult following from the first Clown Bar. Like as soon as I mention it to certain artist friends of mine that I'm doing Clown Bar 2, they're like, oh my God, I can't believe it. I know Clown Bar 1. It was such a great time. And, you know, I kind of just give them a little, and they're like, yes, I'll be there. Yes, I'll be there. So, you know, there's those folks who I think will have easy access to it. But then, you know, I think it is time for people to kind of take a chance on something that isn't just like the expensive Broadway ticket.
Absolutely. Wholeheartedly agree.
I think it's important to say you don't have to have seen Clown Bar to enjoy Clown Bar 2.
Yes. And we're trying to figure out a way to market that to make sure it's, I mean, it's Clown Bar 2, it's in the title that it's 2, but there's just so much more to it that you don't have to, yeah, you definitely don't have to know Clown Bar 2. I didn't know Clown Bar 1 before I read this and decided. And in fact, I made myself go in cold to make sure that I could have access and know this show and be able to do it without knowing the first one. Yeah, we've done our research and we've been working with the actors and, you know, we're delving into all those sort of first things. So we're going to do some fun stuff to kind of give a little exposition from Clown Bar 1 to those people. So nobody in the audience should feel like they, you know, aren't in on the jokes.
Wonderful. Adam, who do you hope have access to the show?
I mean, I just hope that people who would really enjoy the play know that it exists. I hope that the people are like, oh yeah, mobster clowns. That's the thing I want to see tonight. I hope those people know that the show is happening and can come see it.
Second part of our interview, we love to give our listeners a chance to get to know our guest a little bit better. Pull the curtain back, if you will. And I want to start by asking the two of you, what or who inspires you? What playwrights, composers, or shows have inspired you in the past, or are just some of your favorites? And Andrew, if I could start first with you on that, that would be wonderful.
So it's funny, when we did our first cast, when the cast was together for the first time last week, I asked this very question. Well, I asked a slightly different version of this question, which was, what were your comedic influences that kind of formed your sense of humor as a child? And so, I mean, everybody, the cast is all over the place. But mine were the Muppets and Steve Martin. Like, that is what, and it was kind of funny to learn from Adam that, I mean, I don't want to take the answer from you, but like, we're both huge Muppet geeks. And like, that does play heavy into the kind of tone and feeling of Clown Bar and the Clown Bar universe, because it's, you know, it's a center of mayhem. There's some music there. There's some, you know, you've got kind of a center of the chaos, and then the chaos that surrounds that, and lots of gags, lots of fun stuff, but also really smart. And the fact that you have this sort of zany group of puppets in the Muppets, but everybody has their own character and feels like a real person, right? So Clown Bar universe sort of feels the same way. Like it lives in that, it's sort of like a weird dark cousin to it. Yeah.
I love that list. It's a great list. Adam, how about you? What or who inspires you?
Well, to not just repeat that, I think I'll add a couple of playwrights in there. I mean, Christopher Durang was huge for me, and Nikki Silver was also huge for me. That kind of like dark absurdist, you know, they came from Ionesco and some of those, yeah. Beckett. I feel like that's where comedically that's what I learned to love.
That's a great list as well. I would love to know if either of you have seen any great theater lately that you could recommend to our listeners.
I mean, my problem is I've been parenting and writing out in Connecticut, and I haven't seen anything in a while. I'm embarrassed to say I've missed like everything for the past like many months.
But to be fair, you're parenting, you know, so that's a great show in and of itself, right?
It's a great show in itself.
So the one downside for doing a show at a festival is when you're immersed in the only thing you're working on, it's really hard to get out there and see stuff that's there. I think I did make sure that last week I went to see Dead Outlaw, which is the Minetta Lane that Audible's doing, and it was, I wanted to go because for a number of reasons. I like Cromer, and I like Yazbek and the work that they did on Van's Visit. So I thought, okay, let me go see this sort of stripped down musical about kind of a weird macabre story, because one, it kind of felt like a little distant cousin to Clown Bar. Clown Bar, I will say, also has, in addition to gangster clowns, there's also this underlying cowboy western theme that runs throughout too. There's some really fun rodeo clown stuff. So when I read about Dead Outlaw, I was like, let me check this out to, you know, kind of give it a look. Great music, really kind of dark story about how people deal with death, and like, you know, this, I don't know if too much of, I don't give too much away, but it's about a dead body that gets passed from channel to channel throughout decades as kind of this sideshow act. So I thought, all right, this seems a little kind of a distant cousin to what we're doing with Clown Bar. So I went to check that out. I do recommend that, you know, and I think, but I think the best thing I've seen lately, and of course, unfortunately now it's closed, was Buena Vista Social Club at Atlantic. I grew up in New Orleans, so like I'm a big jazz and sort of world music fan and that sort of thing. And grew up, and then, you know, was also a big fan of that, of Buena Vista, and they just really captured the soul and music and culture of that, and in a way it also felt like you're in a club with these people, you're in the recording studio with them. It had somewhat of an immersive feel. I know it's probably going to end up on Broadway. I hope it doesn't lose that, because I love that intimacy there.
Wonderful. I can't wait to see it.
I thought of something. Well, I did see Kimberly Akimbo a while ago, and I think it's still running, and everyone should go see it before it closes.
Yes, it's got a few more weeks left, and there's tickets on TDF if you are a TDF member.
Right. And also, I know that Ebony Booth's play is coming out in American Theater this month, and everyone should read it. Those are my two things that I think of right now.
Brilliant. Now I want to ask the two of you, what's your favorite part about working in the theater? And Adam, if I can start with you first on that.
You know, it's just really exciting to be in a rehearsal room. It's really fun to see people discover stuff for the first time. And it's really fun to watch it go up in front of an audience. I always forget, like there was, at least like a year in which I was not able to be in one of those rooms at all. And it was so great to come back to that. And I forgot how much I missed it and how much I loved just like watching actors do stuff and like watching them do stuff that I wrote. It's like super fun.
That is a fantastic answer. I love that. Andrew, what about you? What is your favorite part about working in the theater?
I mean, yes, and to Adam's answer, I am in that place right now where I'm finally back in the room after a couple of years of kind of staying out of that side of it. And it's where I need to be. Like it's where I thrive. It's the thing I enjoy most, working with these people in a space. And this is really the right show to come back with this on, because it demands that the people that you're working with all have an element of creative energy and surprise that they can bring to this, to a show like this and the process, and then taking all of those things and being able to build this universe around it. The other thing about this show is, I wouldn't say it's a musical, but it's a show with the potential of having a lot of music underscoring, and also there's songs written for it, you know, lyrics written for it. And it was important for me for this to make sure that there was live music in this show. And, you know, there's a character in this play called Musty. And he's an offshoot from a character, Dusty, from the first play. But it's basically, he represents kind of this troubadour host clown, you know, one-man band kind of thing. And I had a music rehearsal with the guy playing this just last week. And just he and I sitting there and kind of coming up with themes and how to kind of build this musical world where we're pulling from different genres, and got a little Western here and a little disco here, and kind of throw this stuff around and to build this zany clown universe. And it was like, I was sitting there and I could not have been more in my element than just being able to build that with this guy who is a super, his name is Chris Cornwell. He's an incredible musician, and you know, he's really like something special in the show. So just being able to be in that room with those folks and be able to build these worlds, there's no other feeling like it.
That is also a fantastic answer. And amen. Amen to both of those. That's brilliant. And now we've arrived at my favorite question to ask guests, which is, what is your favorite theater memory?
So I've been tapping back into my childhood for this, because it's one of those pieces that asks for it. And, you know, I like I mentioned, I grew up in New Orleans, and so I lived around the corner from this famous the street tap dancer named Porkchop. And he and I, like, he used to teach me how to like tap dance on the street when I was a kid. And so right away, I was always exposed to the arts. And then in the early 80s, the World's Fair came to New Orleans, and I had a season pass for it. It was a few blocks from my house, and I would go every day. And there was this one little section, this pavilion in the Italian Village, that did a puppet walkthrough. And it was like this pathway where you'd go to, and like, I was, you know, 10 maybe. And I was a weird kid who interacted with puppets. And I was there so often that like, they asked me to come and be a puppeteer. And so like, I was doing this when I was 10 years old, being a puppeteer in this Italian Village in New Orleans World's Fair. And I'd say like, that seems to be kind of the seminal thing that like set me, you know, I've got to do this.
Whoa, what a memory. That would have been incredible to see. I'm just saying.
And another life, like I want to write a coming of age film about this one particular World's Fair, but that's another podcast.
Thank you so much for sharing that. Adam, how about you?
I mean, I have so many answers to this question, so I'm just going to pick one, which is probably the earliest. So I was in an enrichment program when I was a kid, which meant that we were doing like almost every year we were doing a play as a part of it, which was so cool. But I remember one of the first one that we did, like we all created characters. And then in theory, the class like wrote this play together that we then performed. I mean, it was definitely our teacher, Miss Beauchesne, who had written the play, but she was taking suggestions from us and like, we're all in theory writing it together. And there were these like, we had like drawn our characters and like talked about what they liked and all the different things about them. And then to like to just play that character. And I think it gave me an idea early on that you could just write a play. You could just write a play and do it. Like, that's a thing that you could do, which was just freeing. And I think why, like, years later, I was just like, well, all right, I'm going to write a play.
That's amazing. I love that. Shout out to teachers on that as well. I mean, this is incredible. To think, if you weren't in that program, where would you have been now? You know what I mean? So,
I know.
Thank you both for those fabulous memories. As we wrap things up, I would love to know, do either of you have any other projects or productions in the pipeline that we might be able to plug for you?
I have this play called Marian or the True Tale of Robin Hood. And for the past almost year or so, Masih Asar and I have been turning it into a musical. And so we're going to do a public reading at the International Thespian Festival this June with high school kids. So I'm really excited about it, and to like show it to basically a bunch of teachers and students to say, like, you know, this play is a musical now. It's super fun and very different from this play in a lot of ways, but yeah, there it's much more, I think, like, you know, I think of back in the day watching like Monty Python might be another thing that definitely like led to this.
That's exciting. Very, very cool. Andrew, anything for you?
Well, you know, I started this whole process as a collaboration with Parkside Lounge. And like I mentioned, the person who's producing and also in Clown Bar, Christopher Lee. And, you know, he and I have had a working relationship for about 7 or 8 years at this point. And we've had Parkside kind of in our back pocket, but didn't. And now this production of Clown Bar 2 is hopefully kind of the seedling for more. We're looking to do more collaborative work at Parkside and more immersive stuff like that. So if all goes well, we're talking about Clown Bar Christmas, or maybe doing Clown Bar 1 and 2 in rep or something like that. So, and you know, we have a couple of other things in mind. We might do an immersive production of Steve Martin's Picasso de la Panergil. We're looking at that one. Maybe
I was in that in college.
What's that?
I played Picasso in college.
Oh, wow. Well, there we go. So as I mentioned, he's one of my comedic influences too. So that would be fun to do there. And I think Parkside, if we get this one right, I think hopefully we're going to continue to do more there.
It's wonderful. Some really great things coming on the pipeline for both of you, and a great lead into my final question, which is, if our listeners would like more information about Clown Bar 2 or about either of you, maybe they'd like to reach out to you, how can they do so?
If you can spell my name, I'm very findable on the internet.
So you've said the website at frigid.nyc is where to find the landing page to buy tickets. If you follow either Adam or myself, I'm Andrew FBC on both Instagram and Facebook. We're pretty active in posting everything and, you know, soon about when stuff comes out. So I would follow us there, follow Frigid New York, and follow Parkside Lounge because they're pushing it as well. Yeah.
Well, fabulous. Adam, Andrew, thank you two so much for your time.
Thank you.
Thanks for stopping by and sharing this amazing show. I am so excited to see it. I'm so happy you're part of the New York City Fringe Festival this year. So thank you so much for your time today.
Thank you, Andrew.
Thank you. Really appreciate it.
My guests today have been Adam Simkowitz, the playwright, and Andrew Block, the director, who were part of the show Clown Bar 2, which is playing April 14th through the 16th and 20th through the 21st at Parkside Lounge. It's part of the New York City Fringe Festival, which is happening April 3rd through the 21st. The bulk of the shows are at Under St. Mark's, The Wild Project, and 14Y Theater, but Clown Bar 2 is over at the Parkside Lounge. It's a site-specific show. You can get tickets for the festival itself and for the Clown Bar 2, as well as more information by visiting frigid.nyc. We also have some contact information for our guests, which we'll be posting on our episode description, as well as on our social media posts. But make sure you come out. Join us down at the Parkside Lounge for this incredible show, Clown Bar 2, April 14th through the 16th and the 20th through the 21st. So until next time, I'm Andrew Cortez, reminding you to turn off those cell phones and unwrap those candies.
And keep talking about the theater.
In a stage whisper.
Thank you.
If you like what you hear, please leave a 5-star review, like, and subscribe.
You can also find us on Facebook and Instagram at Stage Whisper Pod.
And feel free to reach out to us with your comments and personal stories at stagewhisperpod@gmail.com.
And be sure to check out our website for all things Stage Whisper and theater. You'll be able to find merchandise, tours, tickets, and more. Simply visit stagewhisperpod.com. Our theme song is Maniac by Jazzar. Other music on this episode provided by Jazzar and Billy Murray. You can also become a patron of our show by logging on to patreon.com/stagewhisperpod. There you will find all the information about our backstage pass as well as our tip jar. Thank you so much for your generosity. We could not do this show without you.